With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public, free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom, and donate today. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
Michelle Uriero is co-founder, along with two other women, of Women's Action Group, a grassroots women's rights and child safeguarding group based in Victoria, Australia. Its express purpose is to challenge policy and legislation that harms women and children in direct relation to gender identity ideology. She's also co-founder, along with Di Landy, familiar name on RCR, of Mana Wahine Corridor, the organization that was involved in inviting Kelly J. Keane to New Zealand and planning the Let Women Speak events in Melbourne and Auckland last year, both with their own sort of controversies, let's say. So Michelle is with us to talk about what happened, I think, last weekend in Melbourne, and to sort of talk more about gender ideology. Particularly, I'm interested on how that impacts on Māori and sort of interfaces with Māori, et cetera. So, Michelle, welcome to RCR. Nice to have you.
Thanks so much, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Okay, first of all, what was the event in Melbourne like being on the ground? I've seen some of the video from it, the high-profile shots, the guy ranting at the horse and all that sort of stuff. Seemed like, compared to last year, the police were doing their job more. So give us a sense of what it was like. And of course, there's the issue of the PA system, et cetera, as well. So take us into the zone, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. So Women's Action Group, we held our Women Will Speak event on Saturday, the 23rd of March, in Spring Street on the steps of Parliament in Melbourne. Now, I don't have that much of a platform, Paul, so we started advertising about 4 weeks out, you know, just on social media, just on Facebook, Twitter, and we were cruising along underneath the radar, which I quite like. I don't mind that. And then about 4 days out, my head marshal, Jess Williams, shout out to Jess, she sent me a Facebook event, which was a counter-protest
They'd found out and they were onto it.
They were onto it. And I've been busy ever since. So I obviously, I always contact police at the inception of our planning, just to let them know what we're doing, where we're going to be at, all that type of stuff. And of course, at the beginning, there was no need to be concerned about anything, like I said, but the moment we discovered that there was a counter-protest being organised, of course, then I started talking to police. Now, fast forward to Saturday. Now, by the way, I live in regional Victoria, so it's like a six-hour without any stop, six-hour round trip from where I live to Melbourne and back home again, so I do that all in the one day.
Like going from Wellington to Whanganui and back.
Yeah, pretty much, yep, in the same day, holding the event.
So we can cope with visualising it, yeah.
Yes. And when we rocked up to the steps of Parliament, the police presence was fair to middling.
Yep.
And then as soon as all the protesters arrived, it pretty much, they started off at about, our event was at 12:30. They planned to meet at 11:30, and they bought all their sound equipment. They had massive, like, big cymbals. They had so many silencing instruments, effectively, the purpose is to drown us out, which just proves us right. So the reason we hold these events is because women are being silenced. Again, they're proving us right. We are being silenced when we speak truth to power regarding women's rights being erased and child safeguarding concerns that we have. So anyway, so we were actually, I don't know if anyone's familiar with what the steps of Parliament look like in Melbourne, but we were on the south end, and we were in the corner. And when the police told me before the event that they were going to, have a strong police presence, they were going to create a line along the top of the Parliament steps, which they always do anyway, usually, for events. But then she said to me, the lead police, she said, and what we'll do, Michelle, is we'll take every endeavour to ensure that there is separation between yourselves and the counter-protesters. which is very glad to hear, and they absolutely did that. So hats off to Victoria Police.
Okay.
But at Kelly J. Keane's event last year at the same place, they actually put the protesters across the road. But what they did to us on Saturday was they just swung them around and they had them right next to us. So the sound was far more, well, I mean, the cacophony, it was just, I couldn't even hear myself think.
Do you think the police kind of twigged that might be, or did they overlook that? Are you giving them the benefit of the doubt here?
Look, I don't know, to be honest. And look, one thing I do know is that they were, because they did come up to me at the start of the event before it all kicked off and saying, they said to me, now, Michelle, the organiser for the counter-protest, you know, she's really interested in making sure that we have a safe event, that there's no, you know, no...
Well, sorry, what do you mean she's interested?
I know. That's the organiser for the counter-protest.
Like an actual woman or a trans woman?
Well, I didn't ask her pronouns, Paul.
Okay.
An actual woman. I'm kidding.
You're going to ask that question because... Yeah, anyway.
I know. Yeah. So, of course, you know, that was not how it unfolded. For us, though, none of our attendees were arrested. We didn't have, there was no, you know, none of us went across, you know, outside of our marshal line to go and attack anyone. Nothing like that. So, so as the noise started getting worse and worse and worse, I'm standing there struggling because, you know, usually we live stream our events. I'm standing there struggling to get Wi-Fi signal on my phone to live stream.
Because everyone's burning up the bandwidth.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, oh. So I had to reset my phone. It was just everyone's coming at Michelle, you know. So it was just insane. It was just chaotic, just total chaos. I finally got the live stream working and then – actually, sorry, I got the live stream working, I'm thinking the PA that I brought along is not going to work. It's not going to work. It won't do the job. It would have done the job if they were on the other side of the street.
Right. Yeah.
It would have been fine. And so, again, that's what I had in my head, but that's not what happened. Anyway, so one of the guys that I didn't even know who was there, actually, to be honest, I didn't because we were squashed up in the corner, I was at the top of the steps and then there were people on the footpath and I couldn't see whether, you know, I couldn't see down that footpath. So he comes around the corner because he could see I was panicking and that I was overpowered. He said, Michelle, I've got my speaker system here. Would you like to use it? And I looked at him and I thought, I'm going to take this opportunity, Paul.
Yeah.
And I said, yes, please.
Otherwise you're not going to be heard.
Right? Like, this is a practical
decision.
It's the
whole point of being
political. That's exactly right. So, and actually, he also got an endorsement from the lead cop. She came up to me, she said, he's a good guy, Michelle. I said, okay. Good, thank you.
Because he's cast in a certain way. This is Matthew Treehy, is it?
I know. Yes, that's, Matt. I call him Matt. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. He's seen as some kind of far right, I dread to use the word, the N-word, Nazi. By this community, right? The opposing, well, I don't know if they're a community, but the counter-protesters.
Yes. And the reality is, Paul, they do it to every time we women stand up and speak, one of us is a Nazi or all of us are or we've colluded with Nazis. It's like the end of World War II when everyone was going around accusing everyone of getting in bed with Nazis.
Yeah.
It's shocking. It's terrible. And the reason they do that is, it's their MO. It's to take the heat off their disgusting, outrageous, unhinged behaviour. It was awful on Saturday. It really was in that regard. We were fine.
When you're looking, I'm really interested in this behaviour, really interested in this behaviour. You've seen it, you know, more than once. So who, when you're seeing people behaving like this, what sort of people are you seeing? Who are they as demonstrated by this behavior? What's driving it, do you think?
Well, number one, they're mostly men. And they're mostly men. I mean, there were men there all that were in young girls' clothing. It was so inappropriate. You know, there were men there dressed in, like, there was one dressed in a long trench coat. You know, they all wear hats and masks and sunglasses. So we can't.
Is that to hide identification, or are they sort of COVIDiots still experiencing?
Well, I thought they were all about, you know, sharing their identity. seems they're not.
So they don't want to be caught on cameras and identified.
Correct. Correct. I don't go to our events covered. Like, I mean, I'm, you know, I'm out and proud. I don't, I have no hesitation. But so, you know, one stage, once our event got kicked off, I looked up to my left, sort of behind me, the cops had rushed over and they ended up arresting two guys because those guys tried to come and attack me from behind. So, an
like physically attacked.
Yep. Yeah. And so you could see in the video, as I sat, all these cops go whoom right behind me. And they actually ended up using pepper spray to contain
I think I've seen the pepper spray footage, but I didn't understand until you've explained it now how that came about.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was that happening. There was someone over there committing animal abuse to one of the horses with the mounted police were there as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a scuffle to my right, and on the opposite side of the street, there was a group of them attacking I don't know who, because I can't see that far, you know? So it was like erupting all around us.
Wow.
And without Matt's sound system, without his kind offer of help, our event would have been dead in the water, Paul. It would have been woman didn't speak, you know, and I would have had to tell everyone to go home. Are you serious? All the police force that came out to help us. Well, they didn't help us. Sorry, that's not true. That, you know, they're there to keep the peace.
Were they fair? Were they fair, though? Because there's been talk that, you know, some certain people have got, well, the Auckland event particularly, that some get a pass, some don't. It's depending on which side of the counter-protest you're on or the protest you're on. Were they fair?
As far as I'm aware, I haven't heard anything otherwise. There was nothing for them to, like, they weren't trying to, there was no need to arrest us.
Yeah.
If you get my drift. They really did have their hands full that day while we're trying to, you know, while we're carrying on with our event. They are, you know, rushing over to this fight breaking out, rushing over the road. You know, the mounted police are trying to, you know, get in between. So, I mean, I think in answer to your question, I think they did a great job and I really do appreciate their presence on the day for sure.
Because contrast that with what happened at Albert Park. They didn't prevent, you know, the poor woman being smacked in the head, punched in the head. They weren't rushing to stop that. They seemed to stand back. Can you understand that?
I can't, but when we found out that there was a man who calls himself a woman that led that particular operation on the day, then that makes sense.
So apparently,
correct, in New Zealand. Yep, in New Zealand. I forget his name. I'm sorry, Rhonda someone.
Rhonda, him, Rhonda. Yeah. Okay. Help me, Rhonda.
That's one.
You wouldn't think that was an appropriate management decision for the New Zealand police to make on that day.
You'd think.
Because it doesn't look fair. It looks like the dice is loaded and it turned out that way. So what were they thinking? Where are their heads?
It's a good question. But I still wonder how much Albert Park played into the outcome of the election last year.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. What's your gut feel on that?
You know, when you see the absolute thuggery of our opposers, people actually stand back and go, what on earth? I have had reports back from other people, I've had a flood, as you can imagine, I've had a flood of support, congratulations, and when is the next one? And, you know, so many people are friending me and all that type of stuff, Paul, but when people see that, and they've also said on the show, you know, on the street, people were saying, what's going on? What are these crazy people
also
doing?
Also, like, they're seeing it for the first time, like getting their around this for the first time.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. And it's not until you see it, Paul. It's like, this is real life. This is not in front of your screen or on your phone. This is real life happening in real time. And it really shocks people when they see it. So that's why their express interest is to ensure that I borrowed a speaker system from a Nazi.
Yeah. So they can say, look what she's just done.
Exactly.
I guess what I'm trying to get to with that question about the assessment, your assessment of their behavior. Are we dealing with people? Mm-hmm. It's hard to say. I don't want to say this, but it sounds like we're dealing with a bunch of people who kind of have some sort of mental illness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And two, now that the leaked WPATH files have come out, and to be fair, we've known about this for a long time, when you are taking synthetic wrong sex hormones for too long, we don't even know the impacts of that on your physicality, on your mentality, or anything like that, Paul. You know, we don't know. And frankly, they are conducting an unethical experiment on children and young people. And that's actually one of the reasons why we're there. Women's Action Group currently have a petition, an online petition to the Victorian government, calling for an independent inquiry into gender medicine for children and young people for that reason.
Okay, so, yeah, it's possible that some of the counter-protesters you're facing off against, or they're facing off against you because you're doing your own thing, could be mentally affected by these treatments they have either been taking or taking right now. Possible.
It's quite possible, which is hence the reason why we want an independent inquiry, because they're asking the taxpayer to pay for all of this. In fact, when the counter-protesters rocked up, they were chanting something like, I'm paraphrasing here because I couldn't quite hear, of course, but something about give us all HRT, hormone replacement therapy, over the counter and for free. Give us all HRT over the counter and for free. I'm probably butchering that. So this is what, and they don't understand, it's not for free, love. It's on the taxpayer.
No. Okay, so it was mainly trans men. I'm also interested in the, because you would have seen that at Albert Park. I wasn't there, but I watched the feeds, you know. Mm. And there seemed to be quite a lot of young women in that counter-protesting crowd. And this is where I really start to scratch my head, that why you would work against fundamentally your own best interests and help in the misogynistic erasure of your gender, your actual gender. What about this time in Melbourne? Were there women in there as well?
Yeah, again, young women. They're always there. And when you look at anything that went down in history, even like with colonisation, anything, there's always young woman or woman supporting those men, always.
Got a theory on why that is?
On this particular issue, well, first of all, they are being brainwashed, and we're talking, and I mean at an institutional level. So we're talking about at schools, we're talking about at universities, we're talking about obviously through the medical industry, but right down to now, like programs that kids watch, movies, you know, even musicians and our music, it's absolutely contaminating everything. And I mean that, sincerely, it is a contamination. So when you impress upon young people these ideologies, it's very easy for them to not critically assess and critically think, because to be a critical thinker, Paul, well, I think anyway, I'm not an academic or anything, this is just my experience and opinion, you know, you need to give yourself some space, some distance from it. But these kids aren't getting any distance whatsoever from it, so they are essentially being indoctrinated.
Where are their mothers?
Well, see, this is the other thing. Now, I'll tell you just to give you an idea of who we had at our event, because In amongst all this noise about me being a Nazi and building bridges with Nazis, I've been accused of all kinds since Saturday. Yeah. We had detransitioners at our event. We had elderly women. We had disabled women. We had parents whose children were socially transitioned at school behind their backs without them even knowing.
That is a shocker, by the way.
It is horrible, and their grief was palpable, Paul. So, you know, this is a very, very serious issue that we're talking about here, because the impacts are just like that. It's like a hydra. You know, the impacts throughout society are tenfold. I can't even, like, there's just so, you know, there's issue upon issue upon issue upon issue. And people don't realise that. And the reason why Why that is because our very humanity is being removed. Because the moment you can say that a man can be a woman just by saying so, then what does that mean for women? It means that our rights no longer exist. It means that the word woman has no meaning anymore.
Hmm.
We cannot stand for this.
I want to put this question to you. I'm interested in asking this because some people think about this. Is it kind of demonic?
Yes. I never thought I would ever say that. I never ever thought I would invoke the word devil or demonic. But it is. It's very fall of the Roman Empire stuff that we're dealing with.
Yeah, so you're going nuts crazy before an empire falls and immorality is out of control. And
correct. Yeah.
Okay. Because it anything that, going back to the point you made just a moment ago, anything that takes the humanity out of the human has got to be going in that direction, surely.
There is no other way. Because once you remove the humanity out of the people, then anything goes. There are no boundaries. That's why currently there are certain people in society, certain members in society that are trying to argue that pedophilia or pedophiles are in fact a sexual orientation.
Yeah. I want to ask you about this whole thing and where it falls for Maori, because I've heard people say, I don't know who, I can't quote the actual quotes, but kind of say that Maori accommodated this kind of thinking, you know, in not ancient times, but, you know, before the colonization, that all these sorts of the spectrum of this was kind of tolerated and everybody lived in this sort of happy world. How does anyone know that for a start?
The truth is there is absolutely no evidence, and I tell you who else agrees with that, and that's Elizabeth Kedekede. She says so, page 82 of her horrendous thesis. Awful thesis, but yeah, she says it right there. And amongst it's quite, when you read it, she's, you know, she starts off with, it's just made up. And they also take things like, for example, I heard a few years ago online, in fact, someone said to me, but I don't think she realised that I'm Ngāti Kahungunu. How could you tell? And she said, Kahungunu had many, many gay lovers. Now, look, nothing wrong with being gay. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we know, I can't name them now, but we know Kahungunu's, how many wives he had. Like, we can trace that lineage, including mine. We can trace that. We know exactly who's who, right? And yet no one can tell me, not one person can tell me, who these gay men supposedly were. Now, that's obviously that same-sex, you know, that sexual orientation. But when we're talking about people who say, or men who say that they're women, that's a completely different thing. That's not even sexual orientation. It's got nothing to do with sexual orientation. So, if you know, when people are going around saying, oh, yes, there were trans women, which are actually men who call themselves women, they call themselves trans women. Trans men are women who call themselves men, right? So,
yeah.
for a start, Paul, we don't even have a word in, you know, a kupu for, in our language for gender, right? We don't have, we've only recently acquired the word takatāpui. And that, I mean, in my opinion, I'm obviously, again, like I'm not an academic, but in my opinion, that's been co-opted, that word. Someone has got, when I say someone, I mean, you know, Kedekede, and she's not the only one, gone through our mythologies and, you know, rephrased, or rather looked into them and thought, oh, that strong wahine, she really must have been a trans man. She must have been a man.
Well, that's revising history, isn't it? It's like reinventing.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to say. They're reinventing absolutely, and it's a lie. It's absolute rubbish. And I know that they're doing it here with the Aboriginal, certain Aboriginal communities as well. And when I discovered that they were doing that, Paul, I thought, I bet you anything they're doing it to our culture too. Yeah. Lo and behold, I was right. You know.
And okay, so how does the, because Pacifica accommodates this, doesn't it? There are men.
So you've got, yeah. So in Samoa, but the thing is, that's the men.
Yeah.
They don't say that they're women. So
okay.
They,
yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's a different thing again. So they grasp onto that, onto the Samoan culture, you know, and saying, oh, well, they do it. So obviously that, well, like I said, we've never ever had that in our culture. There's no muku, there's no waiata, there's no haka, there's no oriori, there's nothing at all in our history and our records that state that we believed that men could be women at all.
Well, what happens, because this is, I don't think this whole thing's played through fully yet, right? So, and there's some, it feels like there's some inevitable showdown possibly coming at some point. I don't know what that is. Do you feel that?
You mean with the entire agenda?
Well, something's got to give at something at some point, right? I mean, either this carries on to, I don't know, some logical end, whatever that is, and who's going to come out on top? Or there'll be, the pushback will get so strong, and we want to avoid bad situations. So when
Absolutely.
It comes to Māoridom, I mean, can this ideology ever be accepted?
Well, I mean, I should point out here that, you know, obviously Māori aren't one homogenous group. We're all, as
I know that.
From different tribes, and so I can only speak for
okay,
what
if
I
it,
think.
If it's couched in cultural terms, like there's history to show, so, you know, we can be this and that's what it is. I mean, would people buy into that?
People have. Some people have. I know for my hapū, they haven't. So, you know, it just depends. And here the other concern, you know, speaking with my Marawahine Kōrero cap on, Māori are only 17% of New Zealand, right? That's 17% of the population of New Zealand. That is not a lot of people, right? Not a lot of people at all. The moment you start sterilising, because that's exactly what these puberty-blocking medications and wrong-sex hormones do to our tamariki and our mokopuna, you actually sterilise the generation, that generation. So you reduce the population even more. So for us, I mean, you know, it's not just that. Well, we've got domestic violence issues. We've got so many issues in our communities, as everyone knows, that really need attention. You add that to the mix. I don't know that, you know, I wonder how long, you know, how long our culture will last, frankly. I'm just being honest. But how this will come to an end is anyone's guess. As I was referring to before, I think it was last week or the week before, I'm losing track of time, leaked WPATH files came about. Now, WPATH stands for the World Professional Association for Transgender Health. Those files have exonerated us women because we have been saying this for a long, long time. Those files even have video of doctors talking about how they struggle to gain consent from children to sterilise them because children are children. They don't know, Paul. They don't know what they're doing. They're not. They don't know what's being asked of them.
We
you know,
all
you
know
say
that.
To a child.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So effectively, they're not actually gaining legal consent. No child can consent. And when we talk about giving consent to children for medical decisions, well, what else are we saying that they can consent to?
The way I've seen some of that video, the way it's discussed is so, what's the word? Disconnected.
Flippant.
So just completely disconnected.
Yeah. And I don't know if you watch, I don't know if it's in the same video or it might be a different one, but then they start talking about, after admitting that they couldn't gain the consent of children, then they start, because, the you know, children are too immature, that's my words, then they start talking about how, oh, well, it's the child's fault. You know, if anything happens, it's we can, you know, because they consented.
Wow.
This is how they operate. This is how unethical these people are. It's all about the money. I don't know if you've heard of Jennifer Bleck, but her work on this is absolutely incredible. And she talks about this as being vulture capitalism because they are digging their heels in further and further because it is a cash cow. It is a huge money earner for them.
Yep.
Huge.
Just in the last few days, there has been controversy with Rainbow Storytime at public libraries in New Zealand. Rotorua was cancelled. Gisborne went ahead. Destiny Church, Brian Tamaki was there protesting. Hawke's Bay, in Napier, cancelled, but Hastings still going ahead. I might not be totally accurate on that. But anyway, this controversy. It's interesting that the local politicians are happy with it. They're okay with it.
I know.
How do we explain that, do you think?
The problem is that on this one issue, Paul, our institutions are utterly and fully captured. And I mean, present company excluded, the media, obviously our governments, everyone is captured. So they're not even willing to listen to reason on this, or let alone listen to us women. What they're doing, this is the thing, why? Why would you, and I'm sorry to come across as being grotesque, but I'm just trying to paint a picture. Why would any man put on an ill-fitting wig, wear like loads of makeup, put on fake breasts, tape his penis under his, you know, back passage, and then say, I want to read to your kids? What does that say to you? Like, if you're taking your kids to the, and they're not asking to read to anyone else, they're only asking to read to children.
Yeah, they're not going to retirement.
And, no, that's right. And in the reverse, libraries aren't getting anyone else to read to children, just them.
But they don't get it. They think they're cancelling it not because it's icky. They're cancelling it because they perceive a law and order problem, obviously, and, you know, sort of health and safety grounds. It's a million miles away from the real issue is what I'm thinking.
It appears to be, but this is the reason why they do it though, Paul, because on the face of it, it looks very harmless. These men look like they're having, you know, that they're going to give the kids a good time. It's colourful, it's rainbow this and rainbow that and unicorn this. How harmful could it be? What we're expected to believe is that these men who no one knows, like we don't know who these men are, that we're supposed to trust these men, just like they say that to us women about these strange men in our spaces, in our toilets. You know, people go, oh, but I know so-and-so, and he's really nice. That's beside the point. We don't know who these people are. As it turns out, especially in America, and actually, I don't know about New Zealand, but, you know, there have been some drag queens that have been arrested for child pornography, for possession of child pornography. You know, people are losing all sense and sensibility on this. There is a breakdown in society of our boundaries, and we're kind of going, and I don't know what that's about, Paul. I don't know if it's because, you know, we've reached a stage in society where life is quite comfortable. You know, we've got amazing technology. You know, we live a life of luxury, essentially. Because it is very much a first world problem. You don't see this happening in third world countries or in, you know, war-torn countries where children are running around going, oh, but I'm the opposite sex. And you don't see that. It really is a Western world ideology, and it's ruining our society.
We've even had the Free Speech Union and David Seymour of ACT criticising anyone who would try and stop these story times because it's an issue of free speech. Can you believe that they missed the point?
Actually, when I saw that, they tweeted it last year sometime that it's an issue of free speech. And I said, oh, so who among you is the drag queen? Well, that's all I could, you know.
You never know what people do in their
That's own. Right. And this is the point. You never know. What they're absolutely ignoring is protection of children, child safeguarding. Because child safeguarding must take priority over free speech. There are some caveats with free speech. Child safeguarding is one, because if we say that you can, you know, drag queens and story time all sweet, well, then are you also saying child pornography all sweet? Pornography all sweet? Because pornography is actually the filmed rape of women, children, and animals. That's
well,
what that
is. I think that that's a good point. Pornography is probably why we're here.
I think so. Well, when you
it creates a permissibility that
absolutely
can extend endlessly, potentially.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree. And we women say this all the time. when you look at like not just the counter protesters, but, you know, people who would be against women like myself and groups like ours, they're constantly online talking about their predilections for pornography and, like, what's his name, Chanel Lau?
Who's working for Chanel the Labor Lau, Party.
I think that's a great idea. I mean, you couldn't bring Labor's demise, you know, any quicker. I think it's a wonderful idea. Congratulations, Labor. Well done. Loving it. So I don't know if you saw this, but he posted online, like, photos of himself, and he's actually telling everyone, I'm getting ready to watch something on the, you know, like he was in his, It's disgusting. They are out. They're out and proud about it. They think that anyone that's not into pornography is a bit loopy, is a bit crazy. And this is the thing, is that years ago we had this discussion. Gail Dines, I don't know if you've heard of her, but she came over to Australia and she was on a Q&A, an ABC Q&A program, and she was arguing about how pornography is unhealthy. It is brain rot. It really is. And men, of course, were going, no, it's not. I have never had that brain rot. I've never done that. And it's you don't know what you don't know. Do you know what I mean? Like, give it time. And, like, pornography is getting worse and worse and worse as we go on. Before, and I don't like it at all. Like, you know,
it's not your dad's Playboy magazine anymore. Put it that way.
No, but that's where it started. That's the problem. Yeah. That's where it started, and it's just devolved into, again, you know, fall of the Roman Empire stuff. Like, some of the categories, there are women, not in our group, but women and other women's groups that study this. I don't know how they do. I could not do that. And I take my hat off to them. Redux is a feminist organisation, and they do some pretty they do the hard yards for the rest of us, so that we know what's going on. We know what they're watching and what they're essentially, pardon me, but what they're getting off on. And it's disgusting. It's just horrible.
Where do you think men sit? Not the men we've been talking about, but men like me. I would say everyday normal men. Are they a sleeping giant at the moment in this, do you think? Because my feeling is when they wake up to this.
So when we first started, so Women's Action Group was formed in 2019, but we knew for a few years beforehand what was going on. And then Manawahine Kōrero started, I think, the year after 2020. So we've been going for a few years. And when we first started, well, not a lot of men even knew what we were talking about. They didn't even understand the issues. They thought that we were just women who were just complaining, and we needed to shut up. So they weren't interested in listening to us because a lot of these men were their mates, you know. But he's my mate. Then what are you doing? You know, be kind. Let him use your toilets. Let him use he won't hurt you, you know, without thinking that, excuse me, we've got to take our daughters and our granddaughters in there in our change rooms. We do not want, you know, do we have the right to take our children into our own spaces and for them to not see a penis? Excuse. But, yeah, do we have that right? The answer is no, we don't have that right anymore. So whether men are definitely waking up now. So back to the event on Saturday that we had, there were men there, and I was really pleased to see them there. They were there. Well, obviously, that's why Matt was there too, you know, when he kind of offered to lend me his system. So men are now starting to wake up, but not enough. But not near enough, Paul, you know, and it takes them a while to understand the issues because they're not women. And as we're seeing with our opposers, with our detractors, like, these men who think that they're women, who call themselves women, they wouldn't have a clue what our lives are like. They make all these claims about their bodies, about what they do in their lives. They have this really distorted view of what we women do in our lives. Like, none of them are rushing to do the vacuuming or to do the dishes or to cook the kai for the whānau or to help the children with their home. No, none of them are rushing to do that at all. They're rushing to put on loads of makeup. Would you believe that there's a shortage of HRT for menopausal women because they are taking it? Men are taking the hormones.
Wow. Okay.
That's a real thing.
The other way, and we're coming up against time shortly, though, the trans men, they're the women, right? Becoming
correct.
Men. Is that something completely different again?
It's a different issue for them. So, and they, when they detransition, they'll tell you, oh, those trans women, which men, those men, they're really dominating in our community. And so, in other words, the men don't change, they're just men, you know?
Yeah.
And these women, for them, it's very different. So when young girls go through puberty, it's a very, very different for young girls versus young boys, obviously. There's a whole lot going on with young girls. And, you know, not a lot of young girls love their bodies when they go through this because it is such a profound change at a cellular level. A lot of young girls, you know, we don't like our bodies when we go through puberty because the change is so profound. That goes away with time. In fact, puberty is the key. Puberty is not an illness. It's actually, you know, it actually helps you get through that.
I've heard puberty described as a human right.
It is. Well, we say that, Paul, because it's being taken away from children. Like going back to the WPAR files, without really their consent. They're not properly informed. They're too, you know, young to be properly informed. So for the young women that are saying that they're men, you know, that they just want to, you know, they lack a sense of self, essentially, and I'm just being very general here. A lot of them have got comorbidities. Some of them have got autism. In fact, there's quite a significant portion, actually, of young girls and young women with autism in that cohort. What else? I'm just trying to think.
Has it replaced the self-harm phenomenon?
Maybe.
Are there similar drivers?
I would say there's similar, yeah, definitely similar drivers for sure. But I'd say this, I'm not a doctor or anything, but just from what I know, because I've been in the trenches here for so long. Yeah. So some young girls actually self-harm at the same time as well. So it's all in the mix, okay. It's all in the bag, you know, all of it, all in the same bag. So it's very different for them. Whereas with the young boys and the men, very much it's autogynephilia, really, is what it is, which is only suffered, well, I don't want to say the word suffered, but only men get it or have it, which is autogynephilia is a man who gets off on the idea of himself as a woman. That's exactly what it is. Yep. So that's hence why all the porn and all that type of stuff. But for the young woman, it's a different thing. They don't like their breasts. They don't like their periods. Yep. And they're told, like, they don't understand that when you take testosterone in your body, you can't, like, they have this idea sometimes that, oh, well, I don't want to have breasts, but I don't want to have a beard either, or I don't want to have a receding hairline either. Like, that's not how that works. It's not how those drugs, it's not a cut and paste. And this is kind of what that's trying to sell them, or you can do whatever you want to your body, whatever you like. And it's a lie. You can't.
Boy, it's wow! What an issue, man. Okay, so what happens next with what you're doing, Michelle, and your groups? Have you got any events coming up?
Absolutely.
Are you strategizing on how you can sort of have an influence in all of this? What's happening?
Look, we are definitely going to go again. We'll have another event. We need a break first, so we're going to come back after Easter. Get over that one. Recover from that one. And then we'll have our meeting next week and decide when we'll have our next event. So, and I'll bring, you know, lesson learned. I'm always happy to learn lessons, Paul. Michelle, don't bring a water pistol to a gunfight. So I've learned my lesson. Yeah. And and I'll bring a bigger PA next time.
Yeah, have the big PA on the back.
That's right.
In fact, more than you need, just in case.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, with big, heavy bass speakers so you can sort of blow everyone away.
exactly.
All right, it's been really interesting talking with you, Michelle Oriuro. Thank you for coming on.
And, thank you.
Yeah, like really a lot to think about there. Great to hear, you know, firsthand, you know, from the front line. It really is.
Thank you so much.
And maybe we'll talk again.
Yeah, would love to.
If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and the dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.